Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. We thank God for the opportunity to allow us to assemble ourselves one more time to fellowship in a word, to fellowship with members of the body of Christ. And even if there's someone on the line that may not be saved, we fellowship. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule to come together as we have done at this 8:30 hour for many years. I thank you. And I thank God that he's still sustaining it. And I want you to know tonight we are able to do this week after week because it's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We're going to make emphasis on the 10th through the 18th, but we're going to look at what Peter is telling us on tonight. You see, when you study the word of God, we hear what God is saying through the person that he inspired to write it. And we know everything in the Bible have a purpose. Everything in the Bible is for inspiration. And we're going to go into the book in the mind of Peter in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. The title of our lesson is Change is Inevitable, but Growth is an Option. So I'll do a little background on that. And you say, well, what you mean, Diane? You know, change is going to happen. We see changes happening every day. You see, change is a natural and sometimes unavoidable aspect of life. It suggests that everything in the world is subject to change, people, places, and things. We see this every day, and there is no option many times but to expect it. The Bible even states in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, it lets us know to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm so glad that the word of God also lets us know that God never changed. I got a little excited and above myself, and I didn't play a song, and the song is important. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And I got to let Sister Pram bring us to the throne of grace, and then I'll be back with you. But remember, I'm talking about change inevitable, and I'm going to pick it up from then.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I pray that you listen to what the songwriter said about God's grace. He said it's amazing. And without the grace of God, he would know where he would be. We're going to talk a lot tonight about God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And I chose that song, and you heard it, and you know what he said. And we're going to look at it. And at this time, Sister Pam, I've opened your mic, and you could bring us to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. The throne of grace where mercy can be found. Good evening, my people of God. My God, my Lord, my Savior, my Provider, my King, my Prince of Peace, my everything. Thank you this night, Father God, for life. Thank you for our teacher, our sister, a prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, I pray that you continue to use her in ways that only you can. Thank you, Lord, for our Bible study and those that are all in attendance on tonight. Let the word of God move you, fill you, and change you in ways that's pleasing to him. Lord, my prayer tonight is that you give us the understanding, knowledge, and peace of mind to sustain the chaos and the consequences of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and thank you, God. Amen, and thank you, dear sister of God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
And when I opened up, I was excited, and I went before the song, and I went before the prayer, and I thought about it. So now the song has been sung, and the prayer has been lifted up, and we're going to do a little intro, and what I said before then, and I'm going to start over because other people have come on the line. I wanted to do some background about change. Change is inevitable. It's our title. But growth is an option. We coming out of the second book of Peter in the third chapter. And we're going to expound on and hear what Peter has to say to us tonight. Change is inevitable, but growth is an option. You see, if we look at change and look at it for what it's worth, it is a natural and sometimes unavoidable aspect of life. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It suggests that everything in the world is subject to change. We see this every day, and there is no option but to accept it. yeah, every now and then, sometime they'll, you know, do something and people get together and change it. But the thing that they got together and changed, they changed it by doing some work when all possible. You see, the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, lets us know to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. God lets us know things will change. But I thank God that the word of God teaches us that God never changes. Yes, God do orchestrate change and seasons and growth and bring it to a new level in its appointed time. You know, in the old days, they had the law, and then God gave us grace because it was necessary to accomplish his will. Change. When God put down the law and brought in Jesus Christ, there was a lot of opposition. But God knew what was necessary for us. Change. I want you to know that how we respond to these events and move forward is what makes the difference. The thing that makes the difference is growth. So what did I say? Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. What it means, we either let the change define us, or we define it and move forward. The only way to do it, as I said earlier, you got to put in the work to grow. You know, the world that we live in is governed by the prince of the air, which is Satan. And he's using the world's standards. You see, the word of God lets us know we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We don't go by Satan's standards, the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But we deal with the things of God. And God has established a kingdom of God here on earth where Jesus is Lord. I can't tell you to go to a certain city or a certain state or a certain country to find it. But I could tell you all those that believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, the kingdom of God has came inside of their heart with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we are dealing with the kingdom of God here on earth and not the world and its standards. Once we believe and God came to live in our heart, gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, we became citizens in the kingdom. And we are always encouraged by the word of God to partake in kingdom building. God has equipped us with everything necessary for kingdom building. He didn't just say build a kingdom and let you go. He gave you all the provisions, the gifts, the talents, the resources, everything that you need to be productive, be proactive in the kingdom. God has supplied us with everything. Everything to live a righteous life. Things will change, but will you grow in the things of God is the question tonight. We're in the book of Peter, the second Peter, the 3rd chapter. And I wanted to say a little bit about Peter. You see, Peter is the writer of these scriptures. And I believe was the best man for the job. You see, when Peter met Jesus, he came to him just as he was. We know some things about Peter. He was strong-willed, hot-headed, arrogant, and often used foul words to get his point across. Peter was a man that often leaned to his own understanding. And he did things that seemed right in his own eyes. the time when he rebuked Jesus for talking about Jesus was telling him he had to leave. Peter didn't want to hear. He rebuked Jesus. When the soldiers came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when they touched Jesus, Peter took out his sword and cut the man ear off. He was leaning to his own understanding. And Jesus had to let him know, Peter, this battle is not yours. It belongs to me. I'm ready to face my destiny. And when Peter denied Christ three times, he did it because it seemed right for him at that moment. He did what seemed right in his own eyes. I'm talking about Peter. But by allowing himself to be taught by Jesus, by the end of his life, he had grown in grace. And he received knowledge and infallible evidence that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of our lives. And once he got the full knowledge of God and understanding what he had been taught, his life was not the same. You see, Peter became sold out for Jesus. Hallelujah. But Peter grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's how he gave God the glory, both then and forevermore. And I want you to pay attention tonight, because the third chapter in the second book of Peter is Peter's last writing. After being and witnessing Jesus for those 3 years, after hearing the teaching of Jesus and sleeping and eating with Jesus and talking with Jesus, and he had the opportunity to write the book of Peter. And he wrote 1 Peter, then he wrote 2 Peter, and the third chapter in the 2 Peter is his last writing. So I think this would be something very important for us. Hallelujah. You see, this is what Peter, you know, had to say. Right after Peter wrote 2 Peter and penned the last verse in this chapter, not long after that, Peter was marred for his conviction of following Christ and accepting that Christ is the Son of God, realizing that he needed a Savior and that he was sent to set the captives free. Peter understood all of this, and he stood firm, and he was martyred for his belief. And we're going to go into scriptures, y'all. I pray that you have your Bible, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. Start at the 10th verse. And it reads as follows. But the day of our Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Peter is telling us, y'all, what's going to happen. He said in verse 11, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, look what he asks us. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see how you should be acting is in verse 12, looking for the hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Peter here lets us know, yes, Jesus is gone. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But he's coming back. He's coming back for the believers, you and I, all those who accepted Christ as their Savior. He's coming back. We don't know the day, the time, or the hour. But Peter said he's gone. He's ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, preparing a place for us as we being prepared here on earth. And in that verses, in those verses, he says, what manner of person you should be. He used the word holy conversation and godliness. Peter is letting us know, y'all. All of these, what he's saying, everything that you have achieved, your house, your car, your bank account, come on, y'all, your education, your relationships, everything physical, fleshly, everything that you have accomplished is going to be burned away with fervent heat to make way for God's kingdom here on earth, the millennium. Come on, y'all. Where Jesus is going to be the King of Kings and the Priest of Priests and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to reign with us. But everything that you can see, touch, or feel here on earth is going to dissipate. He didn't tell us what we're going to be doing until Jesus returns. You see, when he used the word holy conversation and godliness, I took time and thought about it. So I'm going to sum it up with Matthew 22:37-40. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Hallelujah. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is unto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus is saying, on these two commandments hang all the law. This is Jesus speaking, y'all. Check it out in Matthew 22. It's in red writing. He said, and this is a part of the scripture, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What do you mean by that? I used to read that all the time and didn't have a clue. But what Jesus is saying, if you do that, you know, they had laws and they're still laws. He said, when you learn to love God and love your neighbor like yourself, you accomplish all the laws. They asked Jesus what was the greatest out of the 10. He took the two, the 10 and summed them up in two. Because if you love the Lord, you're not going to get an idol God. You're not going to use his name in vain. You're going to remember the set. You're going to remember these things. And if you love your neighbor like yourself, you're not going to covet that they stuff. You're not going to commit adultery with them. You're not going to steal from them. You definitely won't kill. You see, the Ten Commandments had four things in reference to God and six things in reference to man. So when Jesus gave these two, it accomplished all 10. And if we just do that, God will be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You see, Jesus said, if you do that, you're going to be doing what's right just because it's the right thing to do. He's also letting us know that everything physical is going to go away, burn up with a fervent heat. But the spiritual things that you did, the love that you extended, the encouragement, the gifts that you gave, the help that you gave, the kind words, the smile, he said only those things will last. That's the spiritual thing. All of the earthly physical things is going to burn up with a fervent heat. And only those things done for Christ will survive. You see, when we go with Jesus, we're not going to take anything with us. But Jesus said when he come back, he had his reward in his hand. All right? And then when you get, when he presents you to the Father, they're going to be crowned. So only those things for Christ will last. You see, nothing else going to go with you. They make fun all the time and say you die, you don't see a hearse with a bank call behind it. But all you have done for Christ is going to go with you. That's the only thing you're going to be able to take with you, my sisters and brothers. So Peter said, let's not get it twisted. The earth is going to go away. Jesus is coming back. dead in Christ gonna rise first, and the rest gonna rise up if you're living. And the things you're gonna take with you is the things that you did in the mighty name of Jesus. The things that you did to give God glory, the things that you did that lined up with the word of God. Because, you know, plenty of times I hear people say, what God's got for me is for me. And they say it boastfully and proudly because they believe, because they want it from God, what he has for them. Not saying they do what's right to receive it, but they quote that verse. But I come to tell you tonight, the work that God has for you to do is for you to do as well. You see, if we look at the 15th through and the 16th verse, he say, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles. Y'all know Paul wrote 13 books, speaking in them of these things in which are sometimes hard to be understood, which they that are destructions. Destruction. You see, when this verse, these verses hit, Peter called in a witness. Come on, y'all. You know how sometimes you want to prove something that is real? Sometimes you say, well, ask this one, ask that one. In the courthouse, you know, they get witnesses to stand up to testify about what is true. Peter take time and write here in the scripture, and he mentioned Paul. He get a witness. He say, look, I'm not telling you nothing that's new. Check out Paul and his epistles. He say, just like you heard it before, I'm just saying it again. He say, take heed. Don't just be a hearer, but become a doer. He say, please don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. God don't listen to what we say. He say, out the same mouth you're cursing, there's blessing. God say he look at the heart. And when we just talk the talk, but when we walk the walk, there should be evidence of who we served. Don't let your actions, the way you do things, dim your light. But let your light so shine that men can see the good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. And he also lets us know, hold on to the confession of faith. Hold on to the confession of your faith. Paul wrote in one of his epistles, for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. Peter believed that now also. So he used Paul as a credible witness. If we look at verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you see these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the errors of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. He said, you got to be careful. And this is a good example of somebody that's been in the Baptist church, I'll say Catholic church, anyone that followed the doctrine of Jesus Christ for a lot of years. Someone knock on their door twice a week. They let them in. They give them their doctrine that Jesus was only a teacher, or Jesus was only a prophet, that Jesus didn't die and rise, and Jesus could not be the Messiah. Some of them have already selected their Messiahs. But you've been on the battlefield for that long in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and then you turn to something else. That's what Peter is talking here. He said, we have to be careful what we do with the word once we receive it. So when people do something like that, they might have had the word, but they never let it penetrate it to the, in their heart, and probably have never accepted Jesus with their whole heart in the first place, and they may not be saved. That's why the Bible say Jesus is going to say that when it's time to come in, and some going to say, oh, I spoke in your name. I cast out devils. I did this. I gave money to the poor. He's going to say, I don't know you. That's why we always say some we think will be there won't, and some we don't think would be there will be there. You see, a lot of people are self-reliant. Someone who has a gift of ministry, prayer, or the ability to deeply comprehend biblical teaching can, in some capacities, become boastful and believe it's on their own and by their power or ability rather than God. That happens. Y'all see preachers get the big head and get the greed and won't run the church the way they want to run it, and it no longer become the church of God but the church of man. They even put their name on the church, Joe Blow Temple. He said that means you're going to be falling from your steadfastness. That's what he's talking about in the verse. And then we get to verse 18. And it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. And Peter say, amen. And many times this scripture has been written and people say, amen. They saying they're touching and agreeing with what he said to be real and to be true. And they, amen, I'm joining in to the word of God because it is good. Amen. People quote this a lot, and y'all know that's one of the things I quote the most since I've been knowing you guys. But I really want to take a little time tonight to let you know something about grace. How you going to grow in grace and you don't really know what grace is? It's just a word you say. How are you going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You see, grace is a gift from God. We didn't earn it. We couldn't achieve it. And besides that, we don't deserve it. You see, we are saved by faith through grace. So you got to know that grace take care of our hope and our salvation. And salvation is not just for the other side, but salvation is here as well. If you look up the word salvation, it means to be set apart, to be saved from something, usually over and over and over again. You see, that's the grace of God. All that God has for you was established. When we say the grace of God, listen to this. The grace of God, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, when God gave us his son, all of God's grace was in that manifestation. That's how Paul could say God's grace is sufficient. See, everything you need is in God's grace. And if we just learn that God, when we accepted his son, God gave his grace. He showered us in his grace. His grace is sufficient. And in the book of Philippians, he tells us, be confident of this very thing. That the work he has done, begun in us by grace through Christ Jesus, He's able to complete it until Jesus come back. See, God didn't give Jesus the gift of the world and just leave us that. Jesus, when he ascended back, he said, I'm going to leave you with something, which is the Holy Spirit. He's saying, everything that I would have done for you, hallelujah, y'all, he said, the Holy Spirit will be with you. So we have the grace of God living inside of us. And when we began to grow in that grace, everything that is providing for us, God gave us his word, which is a map to our well-being. Grace is what God gives us because he's gracious. Every action of God towards us, all of the healing, all of the deliverance, all of turning you away from addiction, all financial blessings. Every time the jailhouse open and someone that's innocent walk out, hallelujah. Every broken home that is mended together. It's God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. So when you say God's grace is sufficient, understand and believe that it's really, really sufficient. Because everything you need is in God's grace. Come on, y'all. God created the world by his grace. You remember when he said, let us. And he said, and they hovered, the Spirit hovered over the waters, Holy Ghost. Us, him and his son. See, God's grace was with us before the foundation of the world, during the creation of the world, and with us, each and every one of us right now. You see, all of God's provisions his mercy. His gift of salvation. God, once we met Jesus, began a sanctification process in us. He began a process in us, sanctifying us, preparing us for the prepared place that he has for us. Thank you, Jesus. All that is by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. You know, the songwriter made that song, Trinity 3:5-7. It's by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus that the weapons cannot form against you. That protects you from danger seen and unseen. But let me just stop there. I think you got the picture. But what he said also is grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you got a little knowledge about God, you're going to have a little understanding about the goodness of his grace. The more you learn of God, the growing grace, you got to, okay, the scripture says grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forevermore. You see, but to be able to grow in grace, you have to seek God and study his word and get the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And as you grow and you begin to do what God has asked us to do, then God gets the glory, which that's what we was created for. Come on now. We have to understand the goodness of God and his graciousness. And look at the word, graciousness. God is full of graciousness. God is full of grace that he bestows upon his people. But you got to know it, what it is, to be able to grow in it. When you have faith, when things is getting you down and you say, I know God's going to make a way out of no way. And when you really understand it and it's in your heart and you say that, you're growing. It done showed you growed. When debt knock on your door and you're able to say, oh, I want my sister or brother to be with me longer, but I know God doesn't make no mistakes. And it's all right to cry. And if your loved one is saved, let it be tears of joy. You see, that's when you grow in grace, because you get stronger. And the word of God lets us know whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. Peter said in the beginning of this, in the 10th verse, you know, be careful. Everything you could see, touch, and feel is going to evaporate. Your education, your doctrines, your BS or whatever they have, bachelor's degrees. They're not going with you, because God is no respecter person. Your properties, your bank books. You know, many times people set their sights on that, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, because to live in this world, you need money, and that's for sure. But you don't set your sights on what you have. Sights on what God has given you and what Jesus Christ has already done. I'm not saying don't make money, because then you won't eat. But we can't put all of our heart, soul, and mind into what we have, because then we think that it's what's bringing us through. You know, sometimes people will make the statement, if you got a real good job, that, you know, you got a real good job. And people begin to say, my education got it to me, or I knew somebody. But if God don't give you breath, you can't go to work. A job can't give you breath. A job only make demands on you. It don't give you. And it's just so true. You see, God's grace requires exercise to be strong. And I could close with that. And you could take it or leave it. You got to feed your grace with the things of God. You got to feed your grace as you grow in the knowledge of God. You'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. The more you know about God, the more you'll learn about yourself. That's why there's so many people walking around day by day looking for love in all the wrong places. Being upset when man let them down, even though the word of God said man will let you down all the time. The word of God and the grace of God lets us know that we love God, not because of what he could do for us, but just who he is. You have to know him in his sovereignness and his excellency and his love for mankind, that he gave his only begotten son. And he didn't do it once we accepted him. He did it while we were yet in our sin. How much love is that? Come on now, y'all. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that we are who we are. God has given us his grace, but we have to put in the work to achieve the full benefits. Come on now, y'all. God say, I want all of you, because I done gave you all of me. the grace of God lets you really, really know. See, we read and quote these scriptures, but do you really know when you say something like, if God is for me, who could be against me? That you let God fight the battles? That you bring prayer and leave it on the altar and don't snatch it back? Grace will grow. That's how you become stronger today than you was years ago. That's how you could say some things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Not that you have arrived or achieved, but you've grown in the grace because of the knowledge of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. And you decide you want to give him glory. Hallelujah, y'all. See, the more you grow, the more you begin to trust God with everything, not just some things. Growing in grace lets us know. It lets us truly know that in the end, we win. You see, we have to get out of the way confident that God can complete what he started. God has a master plan for all of our lives, and we not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. Many times choosing what we think is good enough for God. Oh, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. God ain't worried about this, and God is not worried about that. But if you don't know the word of God, how you know what God wants? And how do you think you, and how do we think in our mind we could make it up as we go, and then that's what we do, and then we call God when we need him, and we want him to make our emergency as his urgency. But yet we get to decide how much is good enough for God, or when and only when will it be convenient for us to handle the things of God. If it's not convenient for you, you put God on the side. You don't put your job on the side. If you got a husband, you don't put your husband on the side. Sometimes. And I'm not saying God won't all the time. No, indeed. If God said and used the symbol of tithes of 10% for his our time, and he gave 24 hours in a day, 10% of that is what? 2 hours. Well, what? You know, y'all know what I'm saying. 10% is 2 hours and 40 minutes. And you see that 2 hours and 40 minutes, God don't expect you to be on your knees for 2 hours. He don't expect you to be in a church house 2 hours. But when you wake up in the morning and you think about him and meditate on him, you might meditate him on a half an hour. Then you might study the word for a half an hour or read. But then you get on the phone and somebody asks you to pray, and you pray for 15 minutes. God is, y'all know, I pray y'all know how smart God is. And God know he has established enough time for us to take care of everything we got to take care of. And enough time for him. Do the math. It amazed me how God has given us his grace, everything that is needed for Christian growth. He has given us his word, which is a road map to maneuver through the fire. Come on now. He said he know there will be trials and tribulation even after we accept Jesus as his son. But he has given us a road map to maneuver through the fire in the good times and in the bad times. Psalms 19 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He has given us his spirit that lives inside of us to lead us and to guide us, to convict us, and to strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. How he strengthened you? By his grace. I'm going to be the head and not the tail by the grace of God. Follow me and I will make your enemies your footstool. The grace of God. Your ladder is going to be better than your beginning. That's God's grace. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning by the grace of God. But you got to grow in it. You got to believe it to be able to achieve it. And many times people talking about a new season. I'm ready to walk in my new season, my new harvest. I'm ready to go to another level maybe. But I want you to know tonight, we on earth being prepared by God for the prepared place. He gave us his word. He gave us Peter's writing. So the only way for you to advance in the kingdom, you got to do what's necessary to put yourself in position to receive all that God has for you. That's your job. But God has given us all the tools and the provisions. He gave you talents. He gave you resources. He gave you gifts for kingdom building. And you got to get yourself in position to receive all that God has for you in the fullest. Some people can rise up faster than others. God never intended that all of us would be on the same pace. And it's not necessary. But we all should have growth, some growth that reflects that we know and have received the knowledge of God and we believed it and we achieved it and we want to walk and let our light so shine before men that God will get the glory which he created us for in the first place. So I'm going to leave you with this tonight. It's all by God's grace, y'all. All things through Christ Jesus. God, when Jesus rose up from the dead, Jesus rose with all power in his hands. So if God, Jesus got the power, all power, given unto him by the Father. And God is the grace. Jesus is the grace. So Jesus has all of the grace in his hand and the power to use it. So I leave with this tonight. Who you are, who you will become, who you want to be, what you used to be, it was all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concern, you can say them at this time. Anybody want to talk about God's grace? You might could give us something else that we could put in our lesson tonight that we could take away with us concerning the grace of God. You could press the one button on your phone. Sister Pam, I'm just going to open your mic because you know when once you prompt your mic to bring us in prayer, if you press again, I can't see it. So I'm only giving you the opportunity, because if you want to say something, I wouldn't see it before we close tonight.
Just thanking you for the wonderful lesson again on tonight. Be blessed.
And if no one has pressed the buttons, your mic is still open and you could give us the benediction.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what the benediction is tonight. Second Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. And I gave a little description of Peter. Peter wasn't always who he was when he wrote these verses. But Peter grew in grace, and he learned the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And before he was martyred, he was able to pen 1st and 2nd Peter. See, it's a process. It's not a journey. It's a process. It's not a destination, but a journey. I just want to let y'all know where we at is where we are is where we are. But where we going to be has nothing to do where we are today. We are all growing in God's grace. And we have to put in the work. And we have to sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as the things that he have for us to do. You see, everything God wants you to do, God extends the opportunity. So, you know, if you might have to ask God, give me the ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to me. God, let me not harden my heart against what the Spirit is giving me. You know, things like that, you know, could be a starting point. But where you are is where you are, and Jesus is glad with you. But if you got a desire to grow, if you got a desire to want more, if you want more, you got to do more. And that's a word from God tonight. So I thank again each and every one of you for coming in. Anyone have a comment? We still got a minute, maybe. You could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll say, we'll be back again on next Wednesday, same time, if it's God's will and your desire. But until then, have a great night, rest, and may the peace of God bless you real good, and hold on to the confession of your faith, lest you fall. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. See you next week. Be blessed, everybody.